Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Youth. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Joseph Valcarcel brings forth the Word of God.
We need Jesus. You don't want to hear from Pastor Joe. You want to hear from Jesus. So I'm going to get down on my knees and I'm going to pray. If you would be so kind as to bow your heads, close your eyes with me. Let's go before the Lord in prayer and invite him to come and speak to our hearts today. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And Lord, we are just so thankful. We are so grateful for the opportunity to be able to freely come into your house, Lord, and experience your presence. Father, the reality is that we are in great need every day of our lives to be in contact, to be in touch with you, to experience you, Lord, to hear from you. Father God, you're the one who keeps our lives on track. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to open up the Word of God. And Father, as we do, we invite your Holy Spirit, who you've promised to speak to our hearts and to speak to our lives and to lead us and guide us and direct us in the ways of the Lord. And Lord, we'll give you all of the praise, all of the glory, all of the honor for all that you accomplish within us today. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody in agreement with that said, amen. I hope that was a hearty amen. It was kind of timid, but I'll take that for now. That's all right. If you're taking notes, the title of the day's message is simply this: The King. The King. The King. And today, let me just start off by saying this. Today, the one thing I want you to get. Today, if you don't get anything else today, I want you to know this, that you serve a great King. That Jesus Christ is a great King. Today, after you leave service, if your parents should ask you, what did you learn in church today? What did you find out? I would like to walk away believing and knowing that you would just simply say, Mom, Dad, Jesus is a great King. And while this is seemingly upfront a simple truth, I think it really holds great depth to it. And the reality is today, guys, is that all of us, every day of our lives and throughout the course of our lives, we will need a refreshing, we will need a yet another revelation, another look at just how great and how mighty and how awesome our King is. The reality is, the truth is that as we go about life in this fallen world here on the earth, as we go to school 5 days a week and we do the things that we do, I really believe that it is easy to kind of lose sight of how great our King is. Maybe you could put it this way. I think sometimes it's easy to bring God down to our level. Sometimes in our reasonings, in the music we listen to, in the shows that we watch, in the people that we hang around, we sometimes get this image of Jesus that he's kind of just like us. He's just another man. In fact, I think there's been some songs written kind of like that throughout history. But the reality is that there is nobody like him. There's never been anybody before him, and nobody today, and nobody for the rest of eternity who will ever be like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the creator of all things. And I'm here to tell you today, if you've ever thought something was sweet, ain't nothing like the sweetness of my Jesus. Can I get an amen? In the house. There's just nobody like him. Sometimes here in America, I think sometimes we don't quite understand. You know, when we talk about a king, we don't quite get it. And that's just because, you know, in our world, we live in a democracy. Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say democracy? You've been to school? Yes, you do. A democracy, the form of government that we have, all right? Every 4 years, we elect a president into office. If you don't like the dude, in 4 years, you can elect somebody else. Amen. All right, let me move right along. All right, if there's laws, if there's things in place that you and I do not like, we can amend the laws, we can change them, we can vote them in, we can vote them out. But the reality is that as Christians, we don't live in a democracy. We live in God's kingdom. There's a difference between the two. Now, I really believe here on the earth, the best kind of government you could have is the kind of government that we have here in the United States. I really believe that. Because why? Because men are the ones that hold office. They are the ones who make the rules, who kind of govern the way the nation goes. All right. But when it comes to God, a perfect being, there is no other way to have a form of government than what you call a theocracy, or a government that is based on just simply what God has to say. All right. And he is the King. And as Christians today, we live in his kingdom. Now, let me get some audience participation for just a few moments here. What comes to your mind? Somebody help me. Anybody out there, you can shout it out. You can raise your hand, whatever. What comes to your mind when you think of a king? Anarchy? Monarchy, that's what he meant. All right, anarchy, I was like, not quite, but I knew what he meant, monarchy. Well, all right, when you think of a king, what comes to mind? King of the hill. Halo. All right, I kind of like that. King of the Hill. When it comes to Halo, Pastor Joe is the only King of the Hill. I'm just kidding. All right, anybody else? Somebody else help me. What do you think of when you think of a king? Riches. I like that. Somebody in junior high said, gold, Pastor Joe. Gold. Burger King. Anybody out there like Burger King? Don't raise your hand. I'm just kidding. No, Burger King. Burger King's all right. All right, anybody over here? I know this is kind of like, yes. He went there. You are in California, brother. What happened to Kobe? All right. So all of these different things come to our mind when we think of a king. And so do we really get it when we talk about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Now, just play with me for a moment. Does anybody out here know who the King of Rock is? Anybody? Elvis Presley. Do we have a picture of the King of Rock? There he is in his kingly pomp. I would never dress like that for as long as I shall live. Oh, you didn't wait for me. That's all right. Who's the King of Pop? Somebody help me. Michael Jackson, the King of Pop. There he is. What is it with these music stars and like all the glitter, fancy, glowing stuff? Maybe I should come with some like glow-in-the-dark collars or something when I preach next. You think so? No. Okay. Not going to do it. All right. How about the King of Basketball? Who is the King of Basketball? All right. If you said Michael Jordan, you got it right. If we can see it. Look at all those rings. That is the King of Basketball right there. And then finally, there is one other king that comes to my mind, somebody that's kind of been a part of my life, I guess you could say, recently a part of Pastor Richard's life. And there's this little iPhone app game that Pastor Joe plays called Clash of Clans. Anybody play? Anybody out there play? All right, a few people. Maybe it's a 30-year-old game. I don't know. I don't know, but I kind of like it. But anyways, the point of this game is to build your little village. How many of you guys, anybody out there have apps that they play where you got to build a village or build a farm or plant some trees, all right? So you kind of get, it's kind of all the same, all right? I think everybody can relate. Anyways, the part of this game is you build your village and then you build an army. And the point of it is to attack other people's villages and defend your own village at the same time, all right? So you get these little barbarians. I don't have a picture of them, not yet. You get these little barbarians and you release them on people's bases. They just go to town. They try to beat up the base, all right? If you beat up the base, you win. Pretty simple. You get the point. All right. But then there is the barbarian king. And this dude can do 4 times, 5, 10 times the damage as one of the little barbarians. And I'm about to upgrade my village and get the barbarian king. So, Best Richard, you better take note. But this is a picture of the barbarian king right here. There he is. Pastor Joe, what does this have to do? I don't know. No, I'm just kidding, guys. No, but here's the point I want to make. Is what comes to your mind when you think of a king. There's a whole lot of different things. I'm so glad that the Word of God kind of records a picture for you and I of our King, Jesus Christ. If you brought your Bibles, I want to take you first to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Here in Isaiah's life, Isaiah was a prophet in the Old Testament. And here in the 6th chapter, all of a sudden he has this vision and he gets to take a look and he gets to really check out the king. And I'm so thankful today for the picture that he describes, for what is recorded in the Word of God, because it does what I kind of mentioned earlier. It gives you and I one of those refreshers where all of a sudden we begin to see the king for who he really is. And you know what, guys, until you and I have a proper picture of the king, you and I will never operate in a relationship with him the way that we should. And it's upon the revelation, I know that's kind of a big word, the revealing, all of a sudden the understanding of who Jesus is, that all of a sudden now our lives are changed and we begin to live the way God purposed and the way God destined us to live all along. And so here in Isaiah chapter 6, beginning with verse number 1, we get a picture of the king. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And check out what he says, where the Lord is at. Sitting on a throne high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, talking about angels. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, very much similar to what you said tonight, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, now take a look at what Isaiah says. He says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen, somebody help me with the next two words, the King. For my eyes have seen the King. I've gotten a moment now to behold the glory of the Lord, and woe is me, I am undone. At the realization of my King, all my pride has been laid to waste. All my pomp, all my ideas, all my opinions, all my beliefs, everything I've based my life on before up until this time has just got blown away at the revelation of how great my King is. It's changed my life, he says. And I also want to point out a couple more things here in these verses. It says here in verse number one, it says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. The train of his robe. Does anybody out there know what a train is? Maybe some of the ladies, because one day you want to get married, you want to have a beautiful dress with a nice long flowing train. Anybody know what I'm talking about? No? Kind of? Yeah. All the ladies are like, yeah. Yeah, Pastor Joe, I get it. The Bible says right here that the train of the Lord's robe fills the temple. Now, what you have to understand about kings back in the day is that the bigger the train that came from his robe, the more accomplished, the more powerful, the more authority, the more experience, the greater the kingdom he had. In fact, every time a king would go to war, every time he conquered, he would take a piece of the defeated king's robe and he'd have it sewn into his train. So if you were a king with a little robe, you weren't all that. But if you were a king with a little train, you weren't all that. But if you were a king that had a big train, then you pretty cool. You got it going on. Everybody follow me? Okay, let me see if I can help you this way. I remember when I was in high school, I wanted a Letterman's jacket when I was a senior. I thought they were cool. I never wore my Letterman's jacket because I only had like two or three patches. I ain't gonna go to school with two or three patches. Stand next to the guy that has patches coming out the pockets, you know, patches growing up on his face. And you guys know what I'm talking about? Because he's been so much a part of the school. See, it's kind of the same thing. And notice what the Bible says here about the train of the robe of the Lord. It says that it filled the entire temple. It took up the entire church of the time. That's how great our King is. Here we see these angels, and they're crying out holy, and the doorposts of the place are shaken, and yet they are just a created being of God. How great a king we have. Listen, guys, again, there is nobody like him in the entire world. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the creme de la creme. He is the cream of the crop. You will never meet anybody like him in your entire life. So today, as we get into our points, I want you to keep in mind that you serve a great King. Number one today, talking about the King. Number one today is that Jesus is our King. Jesus is our King. This is the way that God purposed our lives to be, is that we would follow the King in his kingdom, in his monarchy, in his theocracy, if you will. All right, Jesus is supposed to be our King. Yes, Jesus is our best friend. Yes, he's the one who loves us, and he died for us, and he has the mercy. But listen, guys, he's also the King. If I could say it to you like this, God's word is not a good idea. God's word is not his opinion. God's word today is not a good suggestion. When God speaks, that is the command of the King, and you and I would do well to follow. You guys follow me today? This is the kind of relationship we should have with the King. Listen, when the King says you're not supposed to have sex until you get married, that's not just a good idea. That's not just a suggestion. That's just not a good idea. No, that's the commandment of the King. Hey, you and I, we're supposed to honor our parents, obey our parents in the Lord, respect them. That's a commandment of the King. And you and I need to understand the authority of the King so that in our relationship with God, we live the way that we should instead of, it's just an idea. It's just an opinion. And so, now listen, I'm not here to condemn anybody, okay? If you say, Pastor Joe, I've already messed, I've already disobeyed the King's commandment. Well, praise God, you can start obeying today and get your life on track today and end up where he wants you tomorrow, but you got to start doing what the King has to say. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. All right. I remember when I was your age, again, in my senior year here, I was kind of slow to getting my driver's license. I rode the big yellow school bus to school. And I was cool. I was cool with that because I sat on the back of the school bus with all the other cool people, okay? And I made fun of all the other people who were driving, even though, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. All right. All right. So I remember, though, I was 17. It was in the fall, and I finally got my license. All right. Now, most of you in here can probably, you're probably familiar with what I'm talking about. In the first year you have your license, there's some rules that you have that you're supposed to abide by. All right. Number one, you can't be driving in the dark. At least when I got my license, that was a rule. Number two, you can't be driving with anybody else in the car unless they were the age of 25 and had their license, if I remember correctly. Anyways, I thought, that's just for kids who don't know how to drive. That's not for me. I don't really need to obey that. That's just not really whatever. So, and besides, I'm gonna go to church tonight. I'm gonna bring some friends with me. God would be okay with that, right?
No, he wouldn't.
Just in case you didn't know the answer. All right. So, anyways. So I remember I lived in Riverside. I was about to come down 215. There's some traffic, so I got off and I was taking some side streets and I'm booking it down these side streets. The next thing I know, and remember, keep in mind it's the fall, so I was going. I don't remember. It was Sunday or Wednesday night service, and it was dark outside already. I got my whole Ford Escort station wagon full of my homies. All right, and we are booking it on the way to church. All right. Next thing I know, I look at my rearview mirror, and what do I see? I see the red and blue lights flashing to pull me over, and the fear of God came upon my life. I thought, oh my God, my life is over. I'm going to jail. I broke the law. Now, if you think that I'm exaggerating a little bit, I was scared, all right? And if you've never been pulled over before, just wait till you get pulled over. I'm sure there'll be a certain amount of fear that comes upon your life. If you look at me and you say, no, Pastor Joe, I'm a tough guy, you stupid, all right? He's the law. He's the one with the gun. I got guns too, Pastor Joe. You stupid. You're stupid. All right. All right. So let's stay on track. So anyways, the fear of God came on me and I thought, oh man, I'm busted. So I pull over to the side of the road and the police officer, he comes up with a flashlight and he says, all right, I want everybody in the car to put their hands on the seat in front of them. Driver, you put your hands on the steering wheel. And I was like, bam! He's got to protect himself. He comes up to the car and he says, all right. He's all right. Can I see your driver's license and registration? Okay, put this in my glove box. I got to let go of the steering wheel. Go ahead. Okay. So I give him my license and registration. He goes away for a few minutes, put my hands back up on the steering wheel. I'm thinking to myself, oh, man. He comes up to the car. Joseph, will you please step out of the car? Oh, my God. I'm going to jail. I'm sorry. No, I didn't act like that. So I get out of the car and he takes me back to the back and he goes, do you know why I pulled you over? And I said, I don't know why you pulled me over. He's like, all right, one of your taillights is out. All right. I saw you pass by me and one of your taillights is out. And so I turned the corner and I just want you to know, I didn't clock how fast you were going, but I know I tried to catch up to you and I couldn't catch. I know you were speeding. And not only that, but you just got your license. You're not supposed to have anybody else in this car. Do you know what could happen to you? And I was like, oh, man. He's like, this is what I'm going to do. What's your parents' names? I was like, Joe and Marie Valcarcel. What is their phone number? What is their phone number? I gave him my phone number, and he said, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you go, but you cannot drive this car. I'm going to call your parents, and they're going to come pick you up. All right, I'm calling your parents. They're going to come. I'm going to let you go, but you cannot drive. Don't be driving at night. Don't be driving. Get your taillight fixed. I was like, okay. So I went and sat back in my car. My parents came to pick me up. All right. But I didn't move that car one inch. It didn't even cross my mind. And here's the point. If we are so ready to come into compliance with the police officer, how much more should we be ready to come into compliance with the ways of God? You and I, we need such a revelation of the King that, you know what, some of this stuff, it doesn't even cross our mind. Hey, you know, for some Christians, it ought to be a lifestyle. You know what? None of that junk, doing what the world would have me to do, going to the parties, getting wasted, having sex, throwing my life away. It just doesn't even cross my mind because I've met up with the King. And he is a great King. And I understand his authority. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. I don't have time to read over it with you. So if you could just put it up on the overhead screen real quick. Basically, it says this, that because Jesus obeyed God, God has highly exalted him, given him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord. See again, God purposed that our lives, that Jesus be the King, and that our lives follow him, that we follow his commandments. Now question, when the Bible says that every knee should bow, does that include you? Does that include Pastor Joe? Okay, every tongue should confess, does that include you? If you don't want me to stay on this point forever, you need to, no, so we see God's intention that he be the King and that we be his children and we follow his ways, all right? So number one today, Jesus is our King. Number two today, let the King decide who you are. Listen, today, do not let Nicki Minaj decide who you're gonna be. Oh, you laugh. But you laughing at the people who are following Nicki Minaj, and you're following Lady Gaga. You're not doing too much better. Listen today. Do not let Jay-Z or the songs that Beyonce sings or Justin Bieber or your favorite sports star decide for you who you're gonna be. Don't be letting no desperate housewives decide for you who you're gonna be. No Glee deciding for me who I'm gonna be. What's that? Avenger time? Adventure Time, don't let Adventure, I never even heard of Adventure Time. All right, just let the King, this is the point, let the King decide who you're gonna be. Hey, listen today, if there's anybody who knows how to do life, it's Jesus. He is the King, he is the Creator. If there's anybody who knows how to get the most out of life, who knows how to have joy, who knows how to have peace, who knows how to be satisfied, who knows how to be fulfilled, it's Jesus Christ. It ain't anybody else in the entire world. In fact, you can search the entire world for the rest of your life and you will never find anybody or anything like God in his ways. Let me just let you know today, becoming a 50 at Halo 4 on Xbox Live is not gonna satisfy your life. Getting that girlfriend, getting that boyfriend is not gonna satisfy your life like following Jesus. Smoking that weed, smoking that bowl. Listen guys, why do we trade what is a far cry from our great King? Why do we trade his goodness for so much less? Would you trade a block of gold for a dollar? No, you wouldn't. Not a single person. Why is it that we do what we do? Why? Maybe because we need a revelation of the King. Listen, today I want you to know that. Again, to let God decide who you are. The Bible says in Psalms 139, verse number 14. Thank you very much in the back. Psalms 139, verse number 14. The Bible says that you've been fearfully and wonderfully made. When God made you, he knew exactly what he was doing. When he made you the male species, he knew exactly what he was doing. And he intended for you to one day get married to the female species. If you are a female today, that's because God made you that way. He knew exactly what he was doing. He put you together perfectly. There isn't any better way for you to be. And he intended that one day you marry somebody from the male species. All right. Psalms 139, verse number 14. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, Beth Sandell, Pastor Michelle's sister, actually kind of put this message together, and I liked it so much, I made it my own. I brought it to you today. Under the inspiration of God, of course. But when she wrote this point about letting the king decide who you're going to be, she talked, I heard her preach the message this weekend, and she talked about how one of her friends, just to give you a little bit of history, Beth Sandell graduated from Rainbow Bible Training Center.
Best Bible college in the world. Don't tell Pastor Jim.
No, just kidding. I'm kidding. The Rock Bible College is cool too. Just not. I'm kidding, you guys. All right. But she's in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and she has this friend who made cakes. And her friend, she says, made, you know, have you ever seen Cake Boss and some of the crazy stuff they make? Her friend was like this. She's like, ooh, I want to learn how to do that. So her friend taught her. So Beth, one day, one of her other friends had a birthday, and she's like, ooh, I want to make the best cake any of these people who come to the party have ever seen. Best cake ever. She talks about how she was all about her cake and not even about her friend's birthday, but you can hear that later. But all right, so she's making this cake and she's getting into the nitty gritty detail of this cake, making everything work, making everything fit, making everything perfect. And she goes on to describe how during this one particular part, she's trying to put something on the cake, and she says that it was needing so much attention, so much careful appropriation that her hands began to shake. And she said, in the moment, she remembered that God spoke to her and said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And she had this thought, I wonder if God so cared for me that when he made me and designed me, that the hands of God began to shake as he planned out my life and as he put me together. You see, that's what the Bible says, that you've been fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Now, I don't know if his hand shook or not, probably not because he's God, but the point remains the same. He took masterfully, carefully, fearfully, and wonderfully put you together and made you who you are today. You don't need Nicki Minaj telling you nothing. You need to hear from the king. You need to hear from the and let the king decide who you're gonna be. Listen, ladies, don't go walking through the Walmart cash register and look at the magazines that sit there on the shelf and let them tell you who you need to be and what you need to look like. Fake boobs didn't do anything for anybody. Bible says beauty is fading, charm is deceitful. What happens when you're all old and wrinkled up? Ain't no surgery gonna help you. Gentlemen, you need to let the king decide who you're gonna be. He'll make the most of your life. Finally, number three, as we close today, the king is everything. Number three today, the king, he is everything. A man by the name of Peter in the Bible. He didn't do everything right, but every once in a while he got some things right. And Jesus had died here in John chapter 21, verses 3-8. Jesus had died and he had risen again, and the disciples hadn't seen Jesus since he passed away. They were in a boat. The Bible says that they fished all night long. They weren't catching anything. And all of a sudden they see this man walking on the seashore, and he says, hey, cast your nets to the other side and you're going to catch a school of fish. And they thought, we haven't caught anything all night long. We ain't gonna catch anything now. So they reluctantly threw their fish nets over the other side. The Bible says that the fish net got so full of fish that they couldn't pull the net back into the boat. And all of a sudden, John realized it was Jesus, and he says, hey, that's Jesus right there. And Peter, what does Peter do? The Bible says Peter puts on his jacket and he jumps out of the boat into the water and swims to the seashore. Why? Because he understood the king is everything. These fish, some stinky fish. I don't care how much money I'll make off these fish. Doesn't matter. I don't care how wet I get. I know I got my cool clothes on right now, but you know what? It doesn't matter because the king is everything. And he put everything else aside, guys, and he pursued the king. Listen, today you got to know that the king is everything. that Jesus wants to be the bread that you eat, the water that you drink, the air that you breathe. He wants to be the one to lift your head off the pillow in the morning. He wants to be the one to lay you to bed at night, watch over you all night long. He wants to be your provider. He wants to be your source. He wants to be your sustainer. He wants to be your healer. He wants to be the mender of your broken. He wants to be everything to you. And listen, today he is fully qualified to do so. Never been a case Jesus wasn't able to fix. Never been a person God couldn't do something great and couldn't do something mighty with their lives. Look at the mess ups of the Bible and look at where they ended up because they simply pursued the King and they found out and they understood that he was everything. Today, the King is everything. If you got something good from God's word today, you can give him a great big praise.
We want to thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.